Story time with Legendary Jerry. I'm gonna start.
Legendary Jerry.
Yeah, I'm gonna start off real, real calm because I know with our guest this week that it's gonna. Her energy has always been incredible, and I know when she on this show, it's gonna be incredible. So I'm gonna start off real low key now. I'm Big Jerry Clark, aka Legendary Jerry. This is my co-host Jamie Page.
What up?
And our guest tonight.
Is Miss Hollywood, the legendary gangster boo.
Damn, well, I'm gonna let her introduce herself.
I'm looking in my Jeffree Star Cosmetics mirror, making sure, like, my black lipstick, the white, how you see the pink in the inside, is like, ah, I hate it, buddy.
See, that's the introduction I was gonna give her this whole long, the first lady.
You can go back, yeah, go back.
Let's hear it.
The first lady
of
Hypnotized Mind. She one of the illest, dopest MCs lyrically. I was about to go, but shit, she didn't cut me off now, so
no,
shit,
we,
no, I'm done now. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this week's story time with Legendary Jerry, we have the incredible Gangsta Boo, Gangsta.
I'm so glad I'm here, you have no
We're
idea.
We're glad you're here as well.
And can I say,
yeah, you can say whatever you want.
I'm so glad to see Cuddy, like, dude, I'm surprised.
Shout out to Cuddy.
Yeah. I was in Atlanta. You knew I've been in Atlanta, right? From back then. He thought I just was out here.
No.
For 10 years.
No, I knew you were here back in the day, but I knew you had went to L.A.
4 years only.
Yeah. Huh?
I'm only in L.A. for 4 years. I only been out there 4 years.
Okay, why'd you come back?
I ain't back. I just did a show last night.
Oh, so you're not back here in Atlanta?
Oh, I just picked up some money.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Atlanta is the place now.
What you said?
So Atlanta goes, so you're still based out on the West Coast?
Yeah, I hate the base. That's a good word, but I'm so country and southern. So I want to just outlive there. I'm not based really out of nowhere.
Do you
I'm
get
based
back out in, of Memphis. You get back, I was going to say, do you get
yeah,
back to Memphis?
I'm
get back
based
home?
Out of my mama house.
I know, that's right.
Damn right.
Yes, man.
Which is Memphis.
So yeah. Look, I you know, it's so many questions that's been going through my head. Because I hadn't sat down or seen you. I mean, I've seen you, but I hadn't sat down with you in, when I say years. Yeah, years. What is going on you solo-wise, and is it going to be a 3-6 Mafia? I'm talking with everybody. I ain't talking about with, you know, well, I guess I should say.
Two members are dead.
Right, two members are dead, but with the original members that
are alive.
Are still alive.
Well.
What's, I mean, because I hear, and I'm gonna tell you what I hear, and you tell me, but what, solo-wise, tell me what you got going
tell
on.
Tell me what you hear first so I can just ride into the whole thing.
That there's some issues with DJ Paul and Juicy.
Oh, okay, well, yeah.
So, is that, what's keeping the 3-6 Mafia, because at one point, y'all was, everywhere it was like, we're about to do a reunion now,
mm-hmm.
and, but then, it's never come to fruition, like, what,
you
what's,
sure
what's the cause
about
of that?
Okay, well, nah, but we did a Mafia 6 project.
Right.
That was all of us, minus Lord Infamous. Rest in peace, Lord. He had just died too when we got back together. And we still had cool people still around, but Juicy wasn't a part of the project because he was working on his own stuff. Well, him and Paul got going on, I don't really know. That's their business, but I know they're still in business together. So they get so much money together, I mean. It's like niggas ain't gotta, you know, babysit each other every day. But I think it's our love. Like, we all mafia. And, you know, like, it's such a current. I mean, it's like we just got birthed again. Like, with all this Who Run It challenge and just like
all
how
that shit. That
everyone's
was, that's
sampling
crazy.
A lot
that's
of
my...
the stuff. And, you know, in my solo career, I feel like I've been doing great as Gangsta Boo because of the 3-6 Mafia platform. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I'm Gangsta Boo from 3-6 Mafia.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I was the only female rapper in the group. So that has gave me a lot of platform to work with so many people like the Outkast, the Lil Johns, the fucking, you know,
Ron
Mike
Jewel.
And yeah, and L. I just did a record with this girl named Jungle Pussy. I don't know if you heard of her. She's super dope. I'm just doing so much cool shit. I worked with Eminem, Yellow Wolf, and all this is because I'm a dope artist, but of course it got something to do with the 3-6 Mafia brand. So at the end of the day, I think it's just Mafia for life. You know what I'm saying?
Damn right.
And if it's time, I don't want to say reunion. I hate that because it's like, two members are dead,
right,
so it would never be.
That's
yeah,
true.
It's just like us touring together, having fun, and we are about to do certain things like that. I'm about to get on the road with Project Pat.
Yeah,
you know what Whew. I'm saying? Me, Pat, Chat,
to Project
White,
Frazier Boy.
Yeah, we about to get on tour called the Hypnotized Camp Posse Tour.
That's That's gonna be some dope shit. Now, how does it make?
I was gonna say, so what is that like though? Still being on the road and touring after all these years, you know, just still being relevant. I mean, I know it has to feel good, especially like as a woman in the game.
Definitely as a woman in the game first, you know, just to still be able to maneuver how you maneuver without selling your soul and doing a lot of freaky nasty shit that you can't look in the mirror or, you know, at yourself and be proud of yourself. So yeah, having not to go through none of that type of stuff, it feels amazing. And I consider myself like a rock star. I hope I be touring just as long as fucking Mick Jagger and all them type of
people. Grateful Dead. Yeah,
you absolutely. I want to tour like the wrestlers do, goddamn.
Hell yeah. Still,
you bring up doing nasty shit, and you know, I mean, as women in the industry, I know it probably comes up a lot. Have you been approached on like some inappropriate?
Oh, I could definitely be a part of the Me Too movement if it came down to it. And I'm writing a book, so I am going to discuss talk about certain things in the book.
You got some niggas
that
tried.
Things have happened. You know, yeah. I'm a nice looking female.
Yeah,
around dudes. Yeah. Man, I'd be lying if I said nobody have, you know, went a little extra with the sexual harassment.
Right.
But that comes natural. Well, it comes natural, but that don't mean it's right. But it's just something that happens.
It's just something that happens.
Yeah, nowadays niggas approaching niggas too.
Yeah, that's,
you know, niggas don't, you know.
I mean,
that's a whole different,
you gotta get in where you fit.
You've seen this industry.
Literally.
I just think the industry kind of weird and wicked, and it's like, it's a secret society in a sense where niggas got a bunch of secrets and shit and don't really talk about it, but yeah.
How does it make you feel to see the movement that you all started with everybody now sampling? You got Cardi B doing a song. You got took a sample from, you got all these artists, somebody from the ASAP crew, all these artists that's taking stuff from what you all done, from the whole Hypnotized Mind crew and that whole Memphis movement. How does that make you feel to see artists coming back and I don't want to use the word recycle, that's not, but you know, continue to keep y'all legacy going?
It's sometimes I don't like it, sometimes I do. It just depends, you know what I'm saying? I guess, like, because it's a thin line between stealing somebody's shit and paying homage, you know what I'm saying, or sampling. Like, it's just a thin line between that shit. Like, when Kanye West sampled Through the Wire, you could tell it was Chaka Khan. It's like, oh, okay. But nowadays, niggas is stealing up niggas' bars. And, you know what I'm saying? These, like, you know what I'm saying? So, it depends. But I think the Who Run It challenge, for example, that was a beat.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't like motherfuckers was on there rapping like a gangsta board, like saying, you know, eat a bitch ass or something or whatever. When my shit was sucking, like, eat a bitch, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, it's a very thin line. Between being flattered by someone,
whose records have you heard that you was like, that's some fuck shit they did? Like,
I'm not gonna get into that because I like, you know, it's not that I don't dig it or think it's cool, but I just think it's a thin line. But I'm not like trying to diss nobody about it. It's just one of them situations where it's a difference between sampling somebody's shit and using their shit. Yeah, and stealing their shit.
Yeah.
Because you know a motherfucker might not know who they are no more or whatever. I haven't done the proper research to see where you got your shit from. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, Lil Jon is my nigga. I love Lil Jon. But for him to get that name, the King of Crump, does that do you all a whole disservice? Because a lot of people...
Do us a whole what?
Disservice?
Because a lot of people, a lot of people feel like y'all... were the Kings of Crump.
Well, you gotta let the people speak.
Which, how you feel about that?
John, my homeboy.
Yeah, mine too.
So, I don't even, like, think about it like that no more, in a sense where, when John was calling himself the King of Crump, at the time, he was the King of Crump. You know what I'm saying?
But so, y'all started this shit, though, is what a lot of people say.
N.W.A. started gangster shit. You know what I'm saying? Gangster rap.
But that crunk shit, boo, is what, that's what I'm saying. Y'all started that crunk shit.
There you go. You asked me how I feel about it. You gotta let the people speak. So,
no, how you feel?
I feel like when John was the King of Crump, he was the King of Crump. That's what I feel. I feel like Memphis always been Book. Memphis has always been Crump. But, like, you know, who started this, who started that, who started that? I feel like at that time when John was calling himself the King of Crump, then that's what he was doing. He was the King of Crump. You know what I'm saying? I don't, you know, but if the people say that, that's what I say, the people kind of, you know.
The people go always speak at the end of the day.
I don't think John was like, I'm the King of Crump because I created Crump. But in Atlanta's defense, me personally, I know that Memphis, we were Buck Wild and Mosh Pitting and doing a lot of crazy shit like that. But as far as music-wise, Atlanta was more hyper. It was more ad-libs and, you know, Lil Jon and the East Side Boys, like, it sounded like a crowd type shit, you know what I'm saying? Our shit was kind of, like, mellow. It was lit, but it's a difference, you know what I mean?
At the beginning, when the whole 3-6 Mafia, because there's been a bunch of members, but correct me if I'm wrong, there's only been two female members, you and LaChat.
No, I was only one member, and that's me, Gangsta Boo. LaChat was an affiliate of the label.
Okay.
Yeah, she was a part of the collective.
And how did that happen? Like let's go all the way back. How did that even come about?
What, two female?
No. How did you, like, 3-6 Mafia and rapping, and, like, how did you get involved with the Mafia, you know? Like, how?
Yeah. Well, I went to school. Well, I was just, like, a young female, like, 13, 14 years old, just kind of rapping. And I was, like, we all kind of, like, lived around each other, went to the same schools.
North Memphis.
I was in North Memphis in the 7th grade, and Juicy used to DJ at our sock hop, but I didn't know
his sock hop.
You are older than a motherfucker.
Well, hey, a feeling is a feeling. A feeling is a shoe fit. You gotta wear that motherfucker.
You said a sock hop.
That's what it is. That's what it was. But I became, like, who I was when I moved to Whitehaven, which is what we call Black Haven.
Black Haven.
And that's where I met Paulette and Koopsta and Lord Infamous, you know what I'm saying? They were on that side. North Memphis side was Skinny Pimp, Juicy.
DJ Squeaky and them?
No, Squeaky from the Mound.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of like more Black Haven or White Haven, you know, South Memphis side. So it kind of, you know, started like that. I was just rapping and talent shows and shit like that. And everybody was like, yo, it's a DJ. They go to our school and, you know, and he asked me to go on his mixtape, and it was pretty much it.
And the rest was
the real mixtape. The original mixtape.
And that's how the whole game.
When you used to put the little paper, remember the little tissue and the little holes and the motherfucking,
old school shit.
Back to that. Yeah. That was the original day.
Mm-hmm. I made you feel old.
I mean, you already made me feel that. So with you coming out of Memphis, coming out the South, at that time, it was only, you know, between yourself, Mia X, and, you know, who, and maybe I'm not remembering, but, like, was there any kind of sisterhood with y'all? Like, we gotta really represent the South. Like, New York and the East Coast had, you know, they had their female rappers, but with y'all, and then y'all came out so fucking hard.
Me and Mia?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, we didn't, like, know each other back then when No Limit was popping, and then when I was doing my thing with 3-6, and Mia X definitely, like, she's my mentor to this day. Like, that's my girl. Like, we're, like, literally like this. I look up to her with the much highest respect I can look up to someone as far as in female entertainer industry. She's just so, like, chill and New Orleans, man. Something about them New Orleans women.
Yeah.
I was more on the East Coast. Like, I didn't have a sisterhood with nobody. I had a brother. I was the sister of Paul Juicy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's who that was. And they kind of kept us tight in a circle where they brainwashed us just enough to have us hypnotized minds the fuck out.
You said that name was literal.
Yeah. And we didn't give a fuck about what nobody else was doing. So it wasn't no brotherhood and sisterhood with no one else outside
of
us.
Y'all.
Yeah. But my inspirations was like the Mia X's and the Kims, the Foxes. I used to listen to a lot of East Coast females at that time. Oh yeah.
So that's, I mean, that's pretty
that's
dope.
That's kind of what helped me lyrically too.
Yeah, that's pretty dope though that you know, you're like, this Mia X was my inspiration, and I think a lot of female artists have lost that today, especially with what's going on with, like, Cardi and Nicki, you know. So
that's
what's
kind of
your take on that? Like, especially as female, like, there's very few and in between, so it's kind of like,
I just think the media just, like, I don't know, I think it's, like, just a natural thing for, first of all, it sucks because, like, when dudes go at each other, it's a beef thing.
Right.
It's like a cool moment for hip-hop, but when females do it, it's extra catty and it's petty because it's like it can supposedly only be one, and I think it's pretty corny. But at the same time, like, I'm just glad I'm in my own lane. I got my legendary status, so I'm up there with the Roxanne's and the Yo-Yos and the MC Lights and the Mia X's and the Brad's and, you know what I'm saying, and the Salt and Peppers and the Queen Latifah's, and
I don't even entertain it. Well, yeah, because I look back, you know, in that era, and there might have been a little beef here and there, but it's not
it
as
seemed like
intense.
It was
kind
of fun. Yeah,
you know,
it's
not as
intense
as it is now. It's like, well, now people are threatening
each
other.
When you're talking about with social media, everything is going to just have
extra.
I agree.
You know, with that, it's always going to have an extra.
I agree.
Extra, you know.
But
extra.
I like both of them females. I think, well, Nicki hard, man. I like her music. You know what I'm saying? As far as her lyrics, she hard. Cardi got her moments, too. And I think both of them some pretty women. They doing their thing, so.
That's what's up.
Now, you just said a minute ago how, like, the mind's being hypnotized with y'all just fucking with y'all self. Did that cause it? I know for a fact from me working at the label that had you all on the label when I worked for Relativity and had Ball and G on the label that it was, I was like, why won't they make this nigga?
A-Ball and MJT was on Relativity?
Yeah, Suave House was through Relativity.
Oh, sure. And the fuck was. Pain and Pixel era. I forgot about
that. So wait, that's how y'all met?
Yeah, I was like eight. I was about 18.
Yeah, let me jump off and okay, speak about sorry. How we met. Well, of course I was working, but I was on the road with them. And I saw some. When I tell you, I don't know how calm she is now, but back in the day,
I was gonna ask if I can actually get more. How long we gonna be? I just want more alcohol. I'm good. We can talk.
You said she want more.
We ain't gotta stop it.
We ain't gonna stop. Yeah, she gonna get it. But, so let me tell you, this nigga was so wild. I'm gonna give you two
this
quick
whole, what? Yeah, like, first of all, say Lola was so wild because when you say this nigga, I'm thinking you're talking about Paul and Juicy because them niggas was the wild one.
You was wild.
They were wild. I was a little girl at that time. I was a little fucking girl.
Let me tell you something.
And I was just trying to fucking come up with my homeboys. They was pulling a lot of fucking strings and shit happened.
Let me say, no, when I said
I didn't know. So no, I lashed out.
No, nigga, you want.
Look, so I lashed out.
That's your story.
Let me tell you something. I seen that instead of this nigga, I seen Lola swing on nigga, put hands on niggas.
Oh, man.
I done said, yeah, look, now,
therapy now, and I'm trying to put that in the past.
Let me tell you something. I saw you and Paul, boy, on the road. Whoo, y'all mother. It had to be some romantic shit, boo.
Wow.
It had to be because y'all. Hey, let me tell you something. Just regular bandmates don't fight like that. I was like, shit, okay then. But look, let me get off that story. Let me go to another story. So I did her album release party at the Gentleman's Club, in the strip club here in Atlanta.
Okay.
Called the Gentleman's Club.
Oh my God.
So I had Gentleman's Club. It was like a gangster boo motherfucking takeover.
Oh, man.
So we coming in. Boo coming in. When I tell you, she shut the fucking place down. Just go leave it.
Girl, that was like my super.
Let me tell you something.
Shut the place down, like so everybody.
Yeah. Well. I
used to like women back then too,
let me tell you something. You left.
Stop doing this in Atlanta. Y'all fucking turn me out.
In the middle of
Atlanta.
Yeah,
look.
Turn
this little girl.
I want to go. No, damn. So look, in the middle of her party, we killing. We playing with them dollars and everything. In the middle of the party, I asked Paul. I'm like, yo, I see her leaving.
Really?
You had two of the finest motherfucking brides in there. But you know what? How you want to disrespect? You came back because I had all the DJs.
Oh,
there
they must did something to me in the car, and then I came back inside.
Oh,
I'm trying to remember.
How's like, that for some rawness?
I'm trying to like, damn.
But
it's
you came
it's
back.
Accurate as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, when I tell you left with two of them, and I was like, damn. But you came back because the DJs they was like, yo, where she go? Like, what the fuck? And I was like, what?
I want to say something, and like, you know, seriously, this
yeah.
is no. Because the thing is, I was young, right? No, so that's what I'm saying. As a female, I wasn't, like, I didn't have, no, it wasn't really media training. I'd had media training before, but that was, like, doing interviews.
Right.
I'm from Memphis, girl. I was just out here. Like, it wasn't, no, I'm trying to be a rapper. And I just fucking wrote a song, and it kind of blew up. And then here come these label guys. Mm-hmm. And I had to be all professional. But I didn't know how to be professional. And I was probably on X. Like, I was so wild. Yeah. And I think. You know, but in a good way, because I survived the wildness.
Talk about, yeah, because a lot of people don't survive.
Exactly. Mind. And I wasn't like brutally wild, but the thing is, I was a rookie. I was like literally 16, 17, 18 years old, rookie the fuck out. And I look back, and it was some amazing fucking moments, because I think around that time, I had a Land Rover and everything at 18 years old, partying in Atlanta from Memphis. I remember just coming to the gates and all that.
Shop.
So, the thing is with men in the industry, like when you around a group of guys all the time and they didn't know what the hell they were doing at the time either because, you know, in their defense, they were young. So it's just like, of course.
And they was just in Memphis pretty much and in that area. So when they.
I was the first one out the group to even move out of Memphis. Paul and Juicy was straight Memphis dudes. Like, they, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we tried. And I joke with them.
So y'all, were just learning and as all we together. All
yeah,
going,
arguing,
yeah.
fighting, because, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, things happening, you know? Oh, so, yeah.
And we get it. She had to get her liquor contact to go outside and grab some, but that's.
Nah, she ain't the liquor contact.
No.
Business partner.
No way am I disrespecting.
I like that name, though. Hold on, what is liquor contact? What is it?
Well, I forgot. Shit, yeah. You just said
it. No, fuck with you. This is it. Just grab pick a part.
A little more?
Well, can I just
this
do
is
it
how,
myself?
Story time will let you
dance. This is like cool, right? Is this like something wrong?
No, oh this
is story time. Sponsorship, Tito's, Red Bull. Come on, man. I'm trying. We ain't doing this shit.
Hey, this is our story time with Legendary Jerry Go. This is the story. But let me tell you, and I'm not just going to say this because you're here, but I heard from the label that you was hard to deal with. Like, she going to be an extra diva-ish and all that. But when I did fuck around and sit down with you, and back then Atlanta's radio, you know, we did, you know, for the young folks that's watching, we had to do retail run and all that.
Oh, man.
But the thing is, just like you are now, you was cool as fuck. So it kind of threw me off because the label's like, yo, she hard to deal with, blah, blah, blah. Because I had already knew Juice and Paul. And, you know, they was...
Hard to deal with, but...
I'm not saying that.
But can I say... I have to say something. Because, like, I want to, like, send messages in this interview as well. Men paint women out to be bitches and divas all the time. Yeah. Men can throw hissy fits and do all kind of things, and they don't be painting out to be nothing but he just going through something. I was 18.
Be bitchy and damn.
And female. I still confuse people to this day, like you just said, like, yo, like, it's been painted, so many pictures have been painted of me in a weird way because someone else was too insecure to deal with me or too sensitive to deal with me or whatever the case may be, like, oh, boo this, boo that, but every time people come around me, be like, damn, she was seem cool as fuck, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's why to this day, I don't judge people off what somebody say, unless I really, really trust that person that's telling me, like, stay away from them, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, yo, whatever y'all had going on, there ain't got nothing to do with me, shout out cool as a motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? That's how I rock, and I do feel like women in general, especially younger ladies in the industry, do kind of get played by dudes. I mean, look what Nicki on words. This was her words, but she said Quavo did to her. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what the fuck happened during motorsport, but she felt played, and she kind of felt that Quavo didn't get on Twitter to say whatever in her defense when people were coming down on her. Yeah. I feel like that's a normal thing that men do. Men always pin women against each other.
Right.
Yeah, they always do that. They used to pin me and Chad against each other.
So you feel like it's hard to be yourself in the industry as a woman?
I don't think I really never had that problem because I was definitely always myself. I think people just kind of caught up to me being myself, like, okay, because they met so many other more people like me. I think I was just a rare fucking, you know what I'm saying, moment for people. But I don't think that women, well, for me, I can't speak. I think that women should be themselves and, like, not dumb themselves down for men in this industry. You know what I'm saying?
I just heard you say that Paul and Juice tried to put you on LeChat again. And one thing that I like is, and I see on social media, you and her, to this day, y'all still rock with each other.
That's because we've had a lot of fucked up, not brutally, because we never crossed the line.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But we had moments where we wasn't speaking at all, like for years type shit, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, we know so much of each other's personal business. We grew up, we have so many of the same exact fucked up experiences in life, being an underdog or just in the industry, whatever. It's like, yo, we really cut from the same cloth. So
were you supposed to be on Chicken Head instead of LeChat, or was that all the time?
I wouldn't say I was supposed to be, but it was a time where Paul didn't like me for whatever reason.
So initially, so with Chicken Head with Project Pat.
No, I'm not saying it was supposed to be me.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, but. Some of the verses that LeChat had, if it was still cool within the 3-6 family, that would have been you.
Yeah, I got booted off a lot of tracks because of personal shit.
With you and Paul.
With just the group in general, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What's up with me and Paul? Why is you like poking?
Right, you are on that.
I'm gonna dig up some dirt on you, and I'm gonna get on my Instagram story, and I'm gonna go live.
Damn, why you going? See, I ain't. Why you gonna get on your?
And I'm gonna go live on your ass.
But the good thing is that you on the chat, even through all of that, y'all are two, you know, fly as lyricists.
Yeah, man, that's my girl, man. But you know what? But at the same time, Paul, my boy, I say this. I just put it on Twitter. I said, Paul is like, I don't have kids.
Yeah,
I feel like he's like my baby daddy.
Yeah.
It's like, because our kid is 3-6 Mafia. You know, you have a baby daddy. That's why he's a baby daddy. He ain't a husband. He's like, oh, God damn. Nigga, I had a kid with your ass.
So y'all still cool to this day, you and Paul?
Yeah, we email each other all the time. Because, I mean, I have to get, you know, we still kind of tied in business. Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, the brand Three Six Mafia is, he put me in Three Six Mafia, you know what I'm saying? That's DJ Paul. Well, so it's going to always be a level of some sort of, that's why I say it's like a baby dad. It's like, man, so what I got to deal with this.
So girl. Saying that is like
but I, you know,
that's your baby and your baby dad. So what was that like?
No,
that
not my baby, your, honey. I know, said my baby daddy. Yeah.
No, and I said,
she said, not my baby, just my baby daddy.
No, I your baby, baby daddy. Daddy. I got it. But what was that like breaking off solo? Like, what were those feelings like? Were you scared of shit? Like, you were in this group and then now you're about to branch off and be this individual artist.
Well, you know what? I was in the group, but I had two solo albums. So I was already kind of like in the group of solo anyway, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But like when I left the group, it was a spiritual, well, it was a religious at the time. I'm spiritual now, but it was a more of a me trying to find myself when I like left the group in the early 2000s. So, yeah, it was just more like I wasn't scared being solo because I didn't know what it felt like to be without them until I got without them, so I didn't go in it like, yeah, fuck, I'm scared, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
Until I got in that fucking water in the middle of the ocean and was like, swinging shit, around above by myself, and like, I don't have nobody, and I'm like, in the middle, I'm like, damn, this sucks. It sucked real bad for a bunch of fucking years, but hey, I'm fucking resilient, man. I'm a leader. I'm
what's
strong.
Juicy
I'm a
J's
survivor.
Juicy,
cool. I fuck with him. I liked his Who Run It challenge. I mean, like I said, I'm going to always have respect for them. Them niggas put me in a position to be who I am, but I also put them in a position as well. So just as a, in general, respect, it has to be that for the 3-6 Mafia brand alone. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If Juicy got a
that
show in LA and I'm at the
general,
crib.
General respect, I love that.
I mean, if I'm in LA and he got a show, I'm going to hit his ass up. Like, I'm going on the road with his brother. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. We're going to always, and I can't do nothing but pay my respect. Not pay my respect, like, in everyday, all day type shit, but if I don't have nothing bad to say about them. Right. I just only got truths.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if the truths come out bad, and that's my truth. You know what I'm saying?
I was on, I've been in the studio with a couple artists that I had signed to me with Juice and Paul, and their work ethic is fucking incredible. Has it always been like that? Like from the beginning of 3-6 Mafia days, is that where I know your work ethic came from your background and how you, but when you got in the group with them, because let me tell you something, when them dudes in the studio, Juicy J and Paul, they don't play as far as getting records done and all that. Was that something that was embedded in everybody in the group early on? We got to churn this shit out, because them dudes, they no joke with that. Their work ethic is incredible.
Well, that's a super, super, super good question, because I learned so much from them, especially like the production shit,
yeah,
how to sample shit and how to like make the beat sound like a movie. And I'll say that to the end of time. And that's why I be telling Paul when we do have our moments, I'm like, bro, you just hate it because I'm just like you. Like, dude, I learned so much from you. So yeah, like, yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. But, you know, my work ethic as far as like in the studio, I'm not a studio rat, girl. Like, I'm not gonna fucking, cause that shit gotta be like really making me some instant money. Like them niggas getting paid off them samples. I ain't getting paid off that shit. So, yeah, they better be working. Cause they, you know what I mean? But no, I'm just like.
did you sit back after them niggas won? I guess you was. After they won a damn Oscar, was you like, ain't this about a motherfucker? I ain't in it.
Dude, I was.
And they go win a motherfucking Oscar, Academy Award.
Can I tell you exact moment? Well, okay, I was in the hotel room with a scrub watching the Oscars. These niggas won.
Hold on, with a scrub?
Now I can call
my audience
a scrub.
Might not know what a scrub is. Right. Just a scrub at lame as
a dude that I'm thinking back like, wow.
Like a TLC scrub.
What the hell was I doing?
I
he wasn't a scrub at the time.
But he a scrub now.
Probably don't. He was a shit back
but
then.
Don't say a name.
No, it ain't no name. This team, no name. Ain't no name. But
you was in a hotel room with it. With
nice. It was a nice room now. So I you know, let me hype in the, you know. Let me.
Damn, my music
give a
start playing.
But yeah, it was just like, wow, because at the end of the day, 3-6 Mafia is a brand. And, you know, me wishing that I was a part of that moment in history, of course, who would not, yeah, especially if you came up with some motherfuckers as a kid, you know, and I was a young adult at the time, and I could say young adult because I was the, like, when they did that, I was like, what,
2006, 2005,
yeah.
I forget the
like,
year.
I'm 38 now, you know, so.
Did you call them and congratulate them?
I don't even think I had their numbers. Because once we cut it off, yeah, it was all the way
off. It was all the way off.
Oh, yeah.
So it really was at one point, you know, for a span of years, it wasn't no
Oh,
Gangsta Boo, Speaking to Juicy J, DJ Paul, none of that.
No, I hated them for a long time. They hated me as well, so it was no, it was like none of that. Memphis folk, we don't fuck with you, we don't fuck with you, period.
Did you stay cool with like the Pat Coops, and well, Coops the
well,
niggas?
Pat was Crunchy with Black. Juicy, yeah, exactly.
Well, Pat
the have nots. I was cool with the have nots. Yeah, I was cool with the have nots.
Lil White, Frazier, is that who you when you say have nots? Lil White, Frazier Boy, the other.
I thought you were talking about the group members. The Crunchies, the Coops,
the
Lord.
Is that, okay.
Yeah, the have-nots, the motherfuckers that wasn't getting rich.
So, before Lauren Infamous died, what was y'all relationship? Were y'all able to...
Oh, no, we was on the road.
Lauren Infamous died, y'all was on the road?
We had just got back together as the Mafia Six. Paul did, yeah, we did a dope-ass project, and we went on tour. I was on the road with them for, like, about 30 days, and when this tour, it was 4 years ago, and it's crazy because it seemed like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. Nigga, our project was sick as a motherfucker, man. Paul, he put his work in, and he spent money, and he didn't even make the money back. So, yeah, like, we had a place where we was not speaking for me and him as far as for years, but he also wasn't speaking to Coop, and him and Lord had issues. That's why I said the have-nots. Like, no shade to them, but we were the have-nots.
Yeah.
Paul and Juicy, and they were on some other shit, getting rich and doing their own thing. And we were in Memphis and wherever else doing our own thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, we was about to get on the road. That was Lord Infamous. That's what he wanted to do. You know, that's Paul's nephew.
Oh, I thought they, it. Okay.
You probably thought brothers?
I thought it was his brother.
Well, yeah, because it's a different in the age. Lord, mom is Paul's sister.
Okay.
So, Lord is older than Paul. No, yeah. So
Pat is older than Juice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah, we got back together. We went on the road, but Lord died before we had an opportunity to. He didn't go on the road, so we took a casket on tour with us, and we had somebody to come out of the casket after the show, like each show, with a Lord Infamous mask on. So it was interesting.
Yeah,
and the tour. I honestly feel like if I can do it again, I would, because it's like you have not been talking to someone that you feel like did you wrong or whatever, and then y'all kind of get back together.
And then he passed.
Randomly. Well, I'm speaking of, like, if I could do it over again. No, it's good. If I could do the tour over again with Paul, well, the Mafia Six type shit,
I probably
wouldn't have done it so fast. I was like, nah, we need to, like, talk about some old issues. It was like, kind of like you get back with an old boyfriend, like, you broke up with him 10 years ago, and you get back with him and don't talk about why y'all really broke up type shit.
Oh, so y'all didn't even, like, talk about like why y'all stopped talking or what
Lord
the
Infamous
was.
You
just meshed back together,
yeah.
And that was it.
And then here we are. Then we kind of did this, you know, because I left the tour early. They was on the road for like 3 months or something. They was on the road a long time. I left early. You know what I'm saying?
Why was that?
It was very different. It was like I said, we just should have talked. I say that it was fun seeing the old fans. I mean, seeing the fans come out, because we have a cult fucking following.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So yeah. That was fun. But, you know, we was just like, some hood ass niggas. You know what I'm saying? Crunchy hood street ass niggas. You know what I'm saying?
Being on the road.
Was bipolar as fuck.
Being on the
peace.
Road with y'all over here. Well, I done seen some. Whew. Hotel fights.
No, it was a lot of drinking. And I mean, you know, it's just
stuff.
A lot
yeah,
of stuff
just
going
a lot
on.
Of shit going on.
But I would not trade the position I'm in for the, like,
and
I don't give a fuck.
Too.
If we ain't got to do nothing else together ever, I can die saying, damn, I was a part of Three Six Motherfucking Mafia. I got plaques for that shit. And to change the subject in a sense, one of my other favorite plaques I got is from working with Outkast, being on Stank Omen.
Sure.
I just be like, that's, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, that's my Grammy. Of course, I want higher accolades, but
yeah.
That's still an amazing
still,
accolade.
I mean, yeah,
I'm
course.
On a fucking Outkast album, okay? I'm fucking in 3-6 Mafia. I'm good.
And that's going down in history. That's your legacy.
I'm
straight. You should be proud of that shit.
Hell yeah. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Let's talk about this Memphis movie. Because at one time, boo, y'all, Memphis was just so hot between, like I mentioned, with you all, the whole Hypnotized Mind crew. You had 8-Ball and JG, Tommy Wright III, DJ Squeaky. It was just,
yes,
I know I'm missing
names,
a whole lot of
but yeah. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's like a history book
yeah,
over here.
I mean,
yes,
man. I mean, Memphis
through.
Yeah,
man.
Come on, y'all was popping. What happened? What happened with that whole Memphis? What do you think? Do you think it was because, because from a production standpoint, Juicy J and Paul was churning. I know they didn't want doing records for, you know, Ball and G and all
that. You said was
art.
Not?
They weren't.
Yeah, no.
But
That's why I told you.
What happened with that whole Memphis? I mean, because y'all was hot,
think,
man.
You don't and think Memphis, y'all? Kinda... You don't think Dolph and Gotti and Moneybagg, yo?
Yeah, no, I like them. No. You see, you like, can I fill in my damn course?
But yeah, I was just conversating with you. I didn't know you wanted me to, like, shut up while you just...
No, I ain't telling you to shut up. We are conversating. I ain't telling you to shut up.
Conversate?
Then she died. But there was a time... Can't fuck with you, man.
I like her.
This motherfucker that got me thrown the fuck
off. Yes.
But look, I forgot the damn question.
This is why I wanted some woman energy on here. You know what I'm saying?
Asking about the Memphis movement.
Yeah, y'all had that movement was crazy at that time, and that's what really set the foundation for the Gotti's and Dolph and all that. But do you think with a lot of y'all uproot leaving Memphis, is that had an effect on it? Because everybody bounced up out of there. I mean, they still have their roots there, but like you say, Paul and Juice left, you left, Ball and G, everybody start coming, whether Atlanta, Texas, West Coast, wherever.
Bouncing.
So do you think now with the movement with Gotti and them, do you see with you going back and still having family there, friends there, you think Memphis will get back to, you know, having that movement like it was in the 90s, early 2000s?
You know what? I don't think nothing can go back that old school unless it's like, it'd be absolutely weird. It's kind of like old Atlanta. If Atlanta went back to like Freakneeks and like as far as like.
But we've been running this motherfucker.
You asked a question?
Years.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Okay. Thank you.
This is how we. No, she said compensate, but go ahead. We compensate.
But you got real though. That's real. But dude, it's just like, man, I don't think that Memphis is a small city for one. We ain't in Atlanta. We're not a Houston. We're not in L.A., but we're creatives. And everybody came down there and peeped out our shit and went back to their home. You know what I'm saying? So Memphis will always be popping. I got ideas. Sun Studios. You got Elvis. You got Al Green. You got, you know what I'm saying?
Aretha Franklin from Memphis. Yeah. Because my dad, you know, my family from Memphis. You know, the Clark family. My daddy went to Melrose.
That's Orange Mound. See, that's what, yeah, that's rest in peace to my dad. My dad went to Melrose.
Yeah. My family, rest in peace to my dad, too. My family, the Clark family, they from Memphis. I know all about Shelby County 901. So come on, man.
So that's what I'm saying. So it's just kind of like, I feel like, in a sense, we will always be popping creativity, low-key ideas. I just feel like Memphis people in power, or I'm just trying to think of the word, say just in general, because it is a lot of poverty in Memphis as far as in the blacks, for sure.
Yeah.
The white people got the most money in the town. When you... The people that do get the money, of course we leave. Why? You better leave, you'll get murdered, that motherfucker. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Damn. Or you're going to have to move to Carville, or just, you know, it's just, it'd be hella awkward.
Carville, something.
But the bigger cities have the advantage, which is cool. Like, and so a lot of times it was cool for us to fucking move out to the A. It was right around the corner. We come to the A and then shoot back to the creek. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, I feel like we'll always have a movement because we originators of a lot of things.
Lot.
We have a lot of ideas.
Lot.
And, you know, it's the culture, the roots.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
What was your experience like working with Drummer Boy? Rest in peace, Insane Wayne, by the way. But with Drummer Boy, because he, that nigga's so hot.
Exactly. But, and his parents, you know, his daddy was
conductor. Orchestra.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Drummer Boy, he's a good dude, too.
Actually, I'm going to see him when I leave here.
Okay. Shout out to Drummer Boy.
Shout out to my friend.
So how's that experience? Because Drummer Boy gonna give you those heaters, man. Are you with the sudden? That's a perfect segue into you talking about some of your new shit. Is Gangsta Boo music coming up with Drummer Boy? I'm sure not just Drummer Boy, but go ahead, talk.
Yeah,
what's coming up with Gangsta Boo?
Yeah, I've been working with Drummer for so long, like for so many years. It's kind of like, you know what I'm saying? We're in our friend spot right now. We're not in a producer artist. Yeah, we started out as friends, obviously. Then we got onto, you know, artist producer type shit, and now we're just back friends. And I miss my friend, and you know what I'm saying. So I'm comfortable in that spot because with Drum, he loves to do multiple things. He's the king of being overwhelmed. He is the most overworking, hard worker, fucking strong little motherfucker that I know. You know what I'm saying? So, but that ain't what I need as production. Like, I want to be produced. So, like, I need that time. And right now, like, we're just, you know,
you need to be coddled and really now on this.
Because the thing is, dude, I don't know it all. You know what I'm saying? I'm smart as fuck. I do know a lot, and I can fucking teach game to the lane.
So who are some producers that you want to work with?
I love to be coached as well, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we got a project coming out. It's called Underground Cassette Tape Music, and it's part two. We dropped part one
a couple
years ago. And we didn't have a publicist or nothing. We just did it. We didn't even know each other. Mm-hmm. We met online. We didn't even meet. We was just sending the songs back and forth. That motherfucker was in Rolling Stone. I'm talking about like every blog people pay to be in with a publicist, we were in that bitch. From Rolling Stone to the MTV to everything. You know, just all the top-notch blogs. And they were calling it a album. And it was, it was like unbelievable. So we got back. He from Texas, by the way. And he a dope-ass producer. Houston. Okay. And so we got back together and we're working on a project called Underground Cassette Music Part 2. So I like working with him. Really, girls, like, nobody would just, whoever, you know what I'm saying? I'll bring the heat, you know what I'm saying?
There's nobody that's, like, in particular, like, I gotta work with them.
Okay, I would love to work with Timbaland. I would love to work with motherfucking, Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park. I would love to work with Pharrell. I would love to work with Kanye West.
You're showing your range right now.
I would love to work with Jay-Z. I would love to work, you know what I'm saying? But do I got to? Nah, because it's like a lot of Joe Blows and CEOs are here bumping like a motherfucker.
Joe Blows and CEOs.
Joe Blows, the CEOs.
Oh, Joe, okay, I'm sorry.
But no, I kind of like that one, Joe Blows and CEOs. Exactly. See? It's a lot of Joe Blows. Yeah, at least a lot of Joe Blows and CEOs. It's hard too, so. Just whoever bring the heat, but
before we get
out
of here, whether artist wise, music wise, whatever, what are you fucking with hard right now? When you drive, what you fucking with right now? We got somebody
Skepta.
Dancing.
Who?
Skepta.
Yes. Woo. Yes.
Skepta.
Yes, baby.
I'm not up on Skepta. You up on Skepta, Jamie? I'm not. So,
Jamie, baby, you married, boyfriend? Baby, this motherfucker, honey.
Yeah.
Skepta. Oh, but yeah, no, he's hard. He's from Nigeria, born in Nigeria.
Okay.
But raised in London.
Skepta.
Hard as fuck.
Well, y'all hear it, baby. I gotta go. Me and Jamie.
And it's refreshing because he don't sound like. He's not using auto-tune. He don't sound like Future. He don't sound like Drake. He don't sound like Migos. You know what I'm saying? He sound like a Nigerian London motherfucker.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like a Kanye West mixed with a Tupac, mixed with a Skepta, mixed with fucking the South, mixed with, like, this. He's
Skepta
so hard.
Hard like that.
Yes. Because it's refreshing, and he actually
and
been
I love
out.
Some refreshing
London,
ass shit.
London got a scene called Grime Scene, and he's a part of that. He's, he got like 1.2 million followers on Instagram, you know what I'm saying? He like a fashion guy, but at the same time, not on no, he is very, nigga, I'm at the fashion show, but nigga, I'm also on the motherfucking train.
Okay, good.
Yeah, in the hood, nigga, like, what's good?
Check him out.
And
yeah.
What's your legacy?
It's hard,
what
man.
You want your legacy to be?
Just respectful. Like I said, I want people to know that I'm just like everyone else, man. I'm just trying to be better. I'm a work in progress. Trust in the process.
I'm talking about your music legacy. What
that's
you
my leg. You said my legacy.
Your period. Okay. Not your music legacy.
There we go. Well, let me go back to what I want my legacy. I want my legacy.
What you want your legacy?
As Lola Mitchell, because that's who I am first and foremost. I want my legacy to be just a motherfucker that came in the game, did a motherfucking thing. And stated her name and tried to change the game. I'm from Memphis. Let me speak my pimp shit.
Yeah,
but as far as
my dad was from Memphis, I know, baby.
Yeah, but as far as my music, man, I just want to. That's it. Going down as a legend.
Well, you hear? Let me tell you something. I knew this interview was gonna be like this because, like I said during the interview, when I
love
first
this woman,
when
baby.
I first when I
this
first met her
BFF.
Back in the day.
Thank you.
She's a little bit more calmer now. She said, but not too much. But I love her energy. Her spirit is incredible.
Amazing.
I appreciate that
amazing.
So much. Well, the thing is, I do want to say this because you do have people that's gonna see and listen. It's about growth and development. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I'm a work
thank
in progress, trusting
again,
the process.
Man.
And you just said it to me. You was like, she's the same, but she's calmer. I had to learn that. I don't want to be a ticking time bomb. That's what it says, immaturity and stuff like that.
Right.
And it's lashing out or whatever, and I'm just blessed to not have crossed the line to trick myself off the streets.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And I think we all kind of go through that, you know, yeah. learning and
yes,
being
man.
Wild here, and calming ourselves down.
Still here,
you
still
here,
doing dope
ass
music, still doing
yeah,
shows.
I'm tour. I'm like, come on.
And yeah, and it's just about being who you are, being true to yourself, and that's really...
So before
we get out of here, tell everybody, you know, your social media handles, where they can find your tour dates, anything like that.
Gangstaboo.com, excuse me. Oh, that wasn't later, like, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, thank you. Gangstaboo.com, and that's pretty much everything.
Is that your handle to
yeah.
on Instagram? And
yeah,
all that Gangstaboo?
Yeah,
okay.
Gangstaboo.com. I got merch, and you know,
that ain't your Instagram.
Well, what I'm saying is the gangstaboo.com, like,
directs.
Yeah, like, my,
all,
yeah, as soon as you go to gangstaboo.com, you instantly, it's like my, it's my Instagram feed.
Oh,
okay,
so,
okay,
and
gotcha,
see,
gotcha.
You know, some people don't have, like, I wasn't, like, is that my Twitter different from my Instagram different from, okay. I wish everything was gangstaboo so I could just make it simple, so that's why I made gangstaboo.com.
So it's easier just to go there. Yeah, there you go.
Cause like my Instagram is Miss Yeah Ho. My Twitter
yeah,
is
that's
Gangsta
what
QOL,
what,
man.
What's your IG?
Miss Yeah Ho.
Miss Yeah Ho.
Yeah Ho.
Yeah Ho.
Miss Yeah Ho. MissYeahHoe.
Jamie Page.
Miss Jamie Page on Instagram.
And I'm Big Jerry Clark. Please, whatever you do, go subscribe on YouTube, Legendary Jerry Podcast. And our social media handles the same, Legendary Jerry Podcast, IG, Twitter. All that. So before we sign off, Miss Jamie Page, Miss Gangsta Boo, I am Jerry Clark, and I of course I dedicate the show to two people, my brother and my friend Mr. Shakir Stewart, and of course rest in peace to my father Mr. Thomas Clark. I love you, Playboy, and we are out.
God bless.